From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. All this month, the state of Texas has been at the center of the national conversation on abortion. State lawmakers there approved legislation that effectively bans abortions after 6 weeks, a time before many women even realize they're pregnant. It's also got a unique enforcement mechanism. Rather than making abortion a crime with government prosecution as a consequence, it allows everyday people to sue each other for violating the law. And not only people who perform an abortion, but even someone who helps another person get an abortion. The prize is $10,000. The U.S. Supreme Court refused to prevent the law from going into effect while it's expected to be litigated, and that's a decision that a majority of Americans disapprove of, according to a poll from Monmouth University. And here in Illinois, ripples from the Texas law are already being felt. The Planned Parenthood Reproductive Clinic in Fairview Heights says it's seen more people coming here from Texas, and the clinic, like many in the state, has deemed itself a safe haven for abortion access. On today's show, we're going to hear the voices of abortion rights advocates and opponents. Later, we'll be speaking with a state lawmaker who favors abortion rights, as well as an official from Planned Parenthood Illinois Action. But first, Amy Gerke is the executive director of Illinois Right to Life, a longtime anti-abortion advocacy and lobbying organization. Amy, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Also joining us is Peter Breen. He's vice president and senior counsel at the Thomas More Society, a national public interest law firm rooted in the Catholic faith. Breen is also a former Republican state legislator. Peter, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
Listeners, as ever, you're invited to join our conversation. The number is 800-222-9455. I don't think this particular issue needs much more setup than I've given it, so I'll just say the number again if you want to join and share your views on what's happening in Texas, what's happening in Illinois in response. 800-222-9455 is the number. Amy, I want to begin with you. You've worked, I read your biography, you've worked on the anti-abortion cause in states like Arkansas and Wisconsin. Can you talk about how you view your role in a state like Illinois, where it seems less likely, at least in the short term, to have abortion overturned?
Well, I have to say, at least once a week, I look at myself and say, you aren't in Wisconsin anymore. The landscape here is much, much different, to say the very least. That being said, I've been with Illinois Right to Life for about 9 months now. And during that time, I've been talking to people all over the state, lawmakers, ordinary citizens. And once you get outside of Chicago, the attitudes about abortion are not that different from what they are in Wisconsin. People want to see women protected. They want to see preborn babies protected. And they believe that Illinois' abortion laws are extremely radical and out of step with the mainstream, which they indeed are.
Peter, the Texas abortion law is unique in that, it's thought to be unique anyway, in that the state is placing the law, as I mentioned earlier, in the hands of private parties, right? People are incentivized to report violations with a $10,000 bounty on the line. One of the examples that's been much discussed would be, say, a driver from like a taxi company or an Uber driving someone to a clinic where they would receive an abortion, being, you know, potentially violating this law. If the basis of legal abortion in the United States is the right to privacy, and that's as articulated by the U.S. Supreme Court, how could this possibly pass constitutional muster?
Well, and I'd say this, Brian, you know, we use private enforcement of public type goods in many other contexts, the environmental context, where you've got fraud claims against the government, and in other contexts like that. We call them private attorney general statutes. So the idea of having private people enforce something like this, it's certainly unique in the abortion context, but it's not unique in the law. And that is where, as I understand it, the attorneys who drafted this, they drew their inspiration. In terms of the constitutionality, certainly under the current Supreme Court precedent, this law would not stand up. And so that would be an affirmative defense by anybody who got sued under the law. And so they would be able to raise that in a court just the same way that anybody else that gets sued for something, you can raise constitutional defenses as a defense. And so that's really the way this would be dealt with and should be dealt with in the state courts of Texas. Again, just because it's unique. I mean, what the reason it really is unique, the reason they needed to go through this rigmarole was because the nature of the abortion right is such that it was invented out of whole cloth in 1973. Overturned the law of Illinois, of Texas. 48 of the 50 states had laws with some restriction on abortion, all of which were just wiped off the books because. The men on the Supreme Court at the time just decided that abortion should be unlimited in the first trimester, essentially. So that's where we sit today. And to some extent, the legislators in Texas were stuck because of the wrongdoing of the Supreme Court almost 50 years ago, which we hope will be fixed later this year or early in next year by this Supreme Court. And so then Texas would be able to have its own law. Illinois has its own law. We happen to have a pretty radical law where you can, abort a baby up to the moment of birth, full term. Setting the limit at heartbeat, a lot of folks support that and see it as a pretty standard place to put it.
Okay, well, let me, I want to come back to that idea of this term, fetal heartbeat. And Peter, we'll have to have a conversation about stare decisis and the U.S. Supreme Court precedent in the weeds there another time. But Amy, I want to ask you, I know a part of your organization's mission is changing hearts and minds, right? On your website, creating a culture of life from conception to natural death, it says. But especially in Illinois, as we've been saying, you have your work cut out for you, right? A lot of people, and whether it's outside of Chicago or inside of Chicago, the majority of people are in Chicago, in the Chicago area. And that's where the majority is in Illinois. A lot of people think like laws like the one in Texas or a potential overturning of Roe versus Wade will result in thousands of dangerous, potentially life-threatening abortions because a lot of women just don't know they're pregnant in 6 weeks. How do you reconcile that culture of life with a potential fallout from, before you've completed your mission of changing hearts and minds, people are still going to want these services if they're illegal and they have to sort of obtain them on the black market. How do you reconcile that?
So there are a couple points to your question. It's really interesting. One of the main arguments of the pro-abortion movement is that pro-life people want to send women back to illegal abortions. What is really incredible is with the overturning of Roe versus Wade potentially on the horizon, abortion advocates themselves are pushing women to have illegal abortions. They are pushing for do-it-yourself abortions. They're pushing for chemical abortions to be readily available, basically over the counter without much medical supervision at all, which is really very dangerous for women. Looking at Illinois abortion law, the Reproductive Health Act of 2019 made abortion very dangerous for women here in Illinois as well. A coroner no longer has to be called if a woman dies at an abortion clinic. Abortion clinics were taken out from under the umbrella of ambulatory surgical centers. So they basically regulate themselves, and nail salons, tanning salons, beauty salons are more regulated than abortion clinics in Illinois, which is not pro-woman at all. As far as women still wanting to have the procedure and the Texas law being wildly unpopular, a recent poll showed that nearly 50% of Texas residents support banning abortion when a heartbeat is detected. And the trimester framework set up by the Supreme Court in the Roe versus Wade decision has really become obsolete and lost in a lot of discussion about abortion is what really happens to the preborn baby, what really happens to a woman and how dangerous it is for them. A preborn baby does have a heartbeat as early as 21 days after conception. And a lot of people don't know that. Basically, we're protecting preborn children with a heartbeat that are healthy, that are going to grow into infants, into toddlers, into teens. We're protecting women from an industry that basically seeks to profit from their heartache at a time when they're most vulnerable. And all right. As far as women still seeking abortions, most women who seek abortions are afraid of financial hardships. They're afraid that they're going to be kicked out of their home. And Illinois Right to Life seeks to provide real answers to women, not just death for their babies.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce my guests. We're speaking with Amy Gerke, who's Executive Director of Illinois Right to Life, and Peter Breen, who's Vice President, Senior Counsel at the Thomas More Society, a law firm that pursues anti-abortion and other legislation rooted in the Catholic faith. And I should say, stay tuned. A little later in the program, we're going to be speaking with people on the other side of this issue. I want to ask you, you've both now mentioned this idea of the fetal heartbeat. This is a key part of this Texas law. NPR recently conducted an interview with an OBGYN, Dr. Jennifer Kearns, who's based at the University of California, San Francisco. This is what she had to say about that.
In no way is this detecting a functional cardiovascular system or a functional heart. And so the term fetal heartbeat is pretty misleading when we're talking about what is detected early in pregnancy. This is a term that is not widely used in medicine. I think this is an example of where we're sometimes trying to translate medical lingo in a way that patients can understand, and this is a really unfortunate side effect of this type of translation.
Amy, how do you respond to that?
That's preposterous. If you look at just about any embryology textbook, talk to any biologist, they will say, yes, there is a heartbeat. There is the cardiovascular system is, yes, in its early stages, but cardiac activity has begun, as I said, as early as 21 days after conception. And if you stop a beating heart, the definition of stopping somebody's heartbeat is killing them. And the abortion industry will stop at nothing to confuse the issue. One of the reasons that the abortion numbers are decreasing and Planned Parenthood is in panic mode, and that people are in favor of protective pro-life laws more so than they have been in the history of the nation, is that medical technology has allowed us to see that the unborn child is fully human. And people have pictures of their ultrasounds on their refrigerators. When a new life is formed at conception, all it needs is nourishment and time to grow. And it's not going to be a dog. It's not going to be a pony. It's going to be a human baby. And the abortion industry is terrified of that fact.
Peter, I want to ask you again about this, come back to this Texas law. I've sought out a lot of commentary across the political spectrum on this. And something I've heard from some conservative legal commentators is some fear that this is sort of like, what is that expression? The dog that caught the car, right? And that, you know, this is a law that has neighbors spying on neighbors, dropping a dime on, you know, someone seeking this service for their daughter down the block. Can you talk about, I mean, how does that comport with sort of conservative legal principles, you know, from the side of the aisle that was against the culture of litigation? How do you reconcile that?
Well, and Brian, I would say this. First off, the interview that you just played with Dr. Kearns is known across the country. I know her well as a vehement abortion advocate and trainer mm-hmm. for abortion. So that's not necessarily a credible authority for the point that she was trying to make. But in terms of this this business of the way the law is being characterized, look, the primary point here is you're going to have people suing abortion providers. That's where we're looking to go. And so you would say in the same way that if you were suing an environmental polluter, you would sue the polluter themselves in these cases. You know, they use broad language in the bill, but it's not the way that it was certainly intended, and not the way that you're going to see it implemented in Texas. You know, in the same way, well, yeah, you know, maybe you could sue somebody that put supplies to the environmental polluter, but that's not really what you're going to do when you're talking about the way the bill actually has played out. And look at what's happening in Texas. There were two, it looked like they were just test lawsuits, but they were filed against the abortion provider. So they're not, that is what you will see as the Texas law goes into effect, presumably. And that's really, you know, the idea of doing anything else, you know, saying, oh, well look, it might do this. It might, aliens might land too. Come on, you're going to sue the abortion provider. That's it. That's what they were looking to do here. And again, they might have used too broad a language in that, but that's not going to be the practical effect.
All right. We have been speaking with Amy Gerke, Executive Director of Illinois Right to Life, and Peter Breen, who is Vice President and Senior Counsel at the Thomas More Society, about the law that came up in Texas. And that is, I think we're going to leave the conversation there. I want to thank you both for joining us, Amy and Peter, today on the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so
much.
Great
to be with you, Brian. Thanks.
Listeners, we are going to continue this conversation coming up after the break. We'll be speaking with a representative from Planned Parenthood Illinois Action, as well as an Illinois state legislator who favors expanding abortion rights here in Illinois. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Texas's new anti-abortion law and how it's reverberating here in Illinois, what Illinoisans are doing about it, how they're reacting to it, how it might be changing the landscape here. We just heard from abortion rights opponents, Peter Breen and Amy Gerke. In the first segment, I want to now welcome two people who are on the other side of this debate, who favor abortion rights. Bridget Leahy is Senior Director of Public Policy for Planned Parenthood Illinois Action. Bridget, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by Illinois State Representative Anna Moeller. She's a Democrat from Elgin, Chair of the Human Services Committee in the House. Representative Moeller, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Listeners, as ever, you're invited to join our conversation by giving us a call. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. You can also tweet us at 21st show. That's at 21st show. And that is exactly what one of our listeners did mention just before we went to the break. So we didn't have time to get it in the first segment, but said, if Right to Life people really cared about women and children, they would push for full free health care for people of reproductive age and their children. So again, you can join the conversation on Twitter or by giving us a call now. 800-222-9455 is the number. So, Bridget, can you take me back to when you first heard about this Texas law and what your reaction was? How did this come onto your radar?
So a couple of years ago, this law passed in Texas, and it's been part of a nationwide push to pass extreme abortion restrictions in order to set up lawsuits to challenge Roe v. Wade and hopefully ultimately ban abortion. And the Texas law is part of this trend that we've seen really grow in the last couple of years. This law, the Texas law, is the most extreme ban that has ever been enacted anywhere. It is, as you mentioned before, a six-week ban. It has no exceptions, not even for rape and incest. And most women don't realize that they are even pregnant by the point when the abortion would no longer be an option for them. I want to step back a moment, and I know that we want to focus on the questions you've prepared for us, but I do need to address some misinformation that was provided by the prior guests. I want to assure our listeners that abortion is safe in Illinois. It's legal in Illinois. We have more than 40 years of data on legal abortion in the United States. This is data collected by the CDC. It's studies by the National Academies of Sciences that abortion has a 99% safety record. And that is both for medication abortion and in clinic procedures. And that's why in Illinois, we passed the Reproductive Health Act, which affirms the current standards of healthcare for abortion. And regulates abortion as healthcare and not something that's criminal or that needs to be, that access needs to be cut off of. The Illinois Reproductive Health Act is really about making sure that each individual person has the ability to make the decisions that are best for themselves when it comes to things like birth control, pregnancy, delivery, abortion, adoption.
And I'm sure we could probably spend the entire segment going sort of point by point if you wanted to, and vice versa, mm-hmm. I'm sure, if we were structured the conversation in the opposite order. But
right.
I know you appreciate you want to. So, all right, Representative Mueller, let me bring you into the conversation here. This fall, the Supreme Court is expected to consider a Mississippi law that bans abortions before a fetus is viable. Can you remind our listeners, if the United States Supreme Court was to overturn Roe versus Wade, what would happen here in Illinois?
Thank you, Brian. Well, fortunately, in Illinois, we have anticipated the eventual overturn of Roe v. Wade at the Supreme Court level. And we've passed legislation in the past couple of years to ensure that access to reproductive health care and abortions remains legal in Illinois. We passed House Bill 40 back in 2017 that removed the trigger law that would have criminalized access to abortions for women when Roe is overturned. We removed that trigger law, so access is still legal. And as Bridget mentioned, back in 2019, we passed the Reproductive Health Act that reaffirms access to safe healthcare for women seeking abortions and contraceptives and other reproductive healthcare. So in Illinois, women would remain protected and would still have access to their healthcare. But unfortunately, as we're seeing with a lot of states, Texas being the most recent, there are many places in this country where women would be subject to criminal prosecution for seeking abortions, or as we've seen here in Texas, subject to lawsuits and quite frankly, bounties put out on them for seeking constitutionally protected healthcare. But here in Illinois, women would be protected.
Bridget, can you talk about what are you hearing from people in the pro-abortion rights movement about how the Texas law is playing out in Illinois, right? I mean, as I understand it, Illinois is something of an island in the Midwest for women who are seeking abortions and other types of reproductive health services. What are you hearing from people out there?
So what I'm hearing and what I know is that people in Texas are being forced to travel hundreds, if not thousands of miles to get the care that they need. Just 2 days after the law went into effect on September 1st, Planned Parenthood of Illinois started to see its first patients from Texas. And there has been a steady stream of Texas patients ever since then. And we know that this is only going to continue as long as this law is allowed to be enforced. And we are very concerned that the trend will be that other states will try to pass similar laws. And we're very concerned about the future of Roe in the court, and that eventually the whole Midwest and South, except for Illinois, will have very, very hostile laws or outright ban abortion, which means that people will be traveling hundreds and thousands of miles to get the care they need, either to Illinois or to some of the other states where they can access safe and legal care.
Bridget, I also wonder if you want to respond to something specifically as we are talking about clinics here in Illinois that one of our previous guests from Illinois Right to Life mentioned in passing that nail salons are more regulated than abortion clinics. Can you respond to that point in particular?
Well, I'm not an expert on nail salons, so I don't know what the regulations are, but I do know that as healthcare providers, all abortion providers are regulated in the state of Illinois, and there's a variety of regulations depending on where the abortion is performed. Those regulations are similar to any other procedures, so we don't do a special regulation for oral surgery, for example, or we don't do a special regulation for, you know, that's in statute just for oral surgeries have to be here and here and here, and you have to do this and this. What it is that the professions are regulated and certain types of facilities are regulated. So every abortion that's performed in Illinois has to be performed by a licensed healthcare professional. Licensure is part of the regulation. And then and they have other licensed medical professionals who are working with them. And if it's an in-clinic abortion, they follow all of the standards of practice for those procedures and those types of procedures. If it's medication abortion, there are regulations because it is a prescription drug. This is healthcare. It is highly regulated. I don't know what the other speaker was talking about when she brought up nail salons.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce my guests. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the new anti-abortion law in Texas, how it's reverberating here in Illinois. We're speaking with Bridget Leahy, who is with Planned Parenthood Illinois Action, and State Representative Anna Moeller, who's a Democrat from Elgin. Representative Moeller, I've spent years now covering Democratic public officials saying Illinois is one of the most progressive states in terms of abortion rights. What are the next frontiers here for people who favor expanding? Is there room still to expand rights further? I feel like every few years we have a bill that sort of feels like the be-all end-all for people on that side of the movement. And then, you know, a few years later, there's a new frontier to move to. So what is next? What do you have your eye on in the future?
Sure. Well, so we are not done in ensuring that every woman in Illinois and those who, as Bridget, you know, alluded to, who will be coming here to access care, has unfettered access to reproductive health care. Back in the mid-90s, there was a law that was passed called the Parental Notification Act, which was passed to create barriers for young women who were seeking access to abortions and set up a notification requirement for young women who wanted to, who needed to access abortion care. We are very concerned that as other states pass similar draconian laws that restrict access to care, we will see an influx of young women coming to Illinois, not unaware of the fact that there is this law that still exists in Illinois, which requires notification of certain adults in her life before she's able to access an abortion. It's been a burden for Illinois women, and it will be a burden for women who are coming here seeking care. And as Bridget mentioned, you know, women who may be escaping trauma, you know, some type of a terrible situation in order to take care of herself. So we are seeking to get rid of that last obstacle that stands in the way of women accessing care. And we are hoping to repeal that law sometime very soon so that we can ensure that women have access to safe health care in Illinois and not be, you know, not have to resort to taking situations into their own hands or being denied access to care.
And let me just take a moment. We've gotten a couple more people tweeting in. Eric says, and they all seem to be on the sort of pro-abortion rights side of the ledger. Eric says, there's no heart or organs developed at 6 weeks, ergo no heartbeat. Now, if you believe that life begins at conception, then the father has full parental rights at conception. That was Eric. And then Sonia wrote to say, I would like to know where the people are that are against abortion to adopt and love these children instead of judging those who have an abortion. And finally, we also had a caller who did not want to go on air, but Susan in Rochelle says she's an emergency nurse and thinks this conversation needs to stay between providers and patients. She sees so many young girls trying to get illegal abortions or perform them themselves, she said. So, Bridget, can you talk in just the few minutes we have remaining, a law like this, does it have a particular effect on, I guess, what would you say, marginalized communities, people of color?
Definitely it does. And that is the challenge here. We know from experience, Planned Parenthood in Texas has been counseling patients ever since the ban went into effect. And they have shared stories about patients who are unable to travel for a variety of reasons. A lot of it has to do with a lack of financial resources, a lack of childcare, inability to take time off of work because they can't miss the paycheck, things like language barriers. So it will disproportionately affect low-income people. It will affect Black and Brown communities, and it will affect people who just have complicated everyday lives that mean they can't travel. One example was a patient who recently came to the Planned Parenthood Health Center in Fairview Heights, who took her rent money and used it to pay for childcare for her children and pay for the gas, et cetera, to get to Fairview Heights, Illinois, from Texas. She had no idea how she was going to pay her rent, but she knew her first priority was to get the health care she needed. She was lucky that she had rent money, but I don't know what exactly she's going to do to pay the rent this coming month. And there are going to be people, and there right now are people, who are going to be forced to carry pregnancies because of this law, because they don't have the privilege and the resources to enable them to leave the state and get the care they need.
Representative Mueller, just last question to you, I think. You know, the other side of this movement says they're trying to build a culture of life. And unfortunately, I only have about a minute left here. But how do you respond to that? I mean, the implication there is that people who favor abortion rights are against a culture of life. How do you respond to that sort of critique?
Well, I respond in the fact that we need to trust women to know what is good for themselves, good for their families, best, you know, for their own health, best for the situation that they're in. And too often, this debate minimizes and it is disrespectful to the notion that women take these situations very seriously, and are making decisions for their own well-being. I've known, so many people in my life who've had to make that decision, and it was based out of compassion for themselves and for their own families. It was a very difficult decision, but it was one that they made because they needed to protect themselves and their families. So we need to trust that women make these decisions.
Okay, we're going to take a. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're going to take a short break. We'll continue this conversation for just a couple of minutes after we come back before moving on to our final segment of the show today. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the new anti-abortion law out of Texas, how it's reverberating here in Illinois. We've been speaking with State Representative Anna Moeller, who's a Democrat from Elgin, and Bridget Leahy, Senior Director of Public Policy for Planned Parenthood Illinois Action, about time to move on from this conversation. But Bridget, before we go, I wanted to ask you one last thing. A Democratic state representative, Kelly Cassidy, has introduced what she's calling the Texas Act. That's an acronym, sort of a, but, you know, tongue-in-cheek, obviously, in response to what the law of Texas. This is a proposal that would sort of flip the script on that law, creating a $10,000 civil bounty system aimed at catching people who commit or aid others in committing sexual assault. I wonder what you think of that and where you see the legislative agenda going for people on the pro-abortion rights side of this issue.
Well, Representative Cassidy, I do value her strong support for reproductive rights. And in introducing this legislation, she is making two very important points. First of all, the Texas law does not include an exception for rape or incest. And Governor Abbott said that's okay because he's going to get rid of all the rapists in Texas, which everyone who works in sexual assault services and violence prevention, you know, would love to know what his magic wand holds, because that just no state has ever been able to do that. So I think Representative Kelly Cassidy points that out, that we're always going to have that issue, and that these laws are particularly draconian to survivors of sexual assault. The other thing she does is the money that is part of the lawsuits under her bill would go into a fund to help people travel to get abortion care. And that points out the other issue, which is that people in Texas are being forced to travel. And now an abortion costs hundreds of dollars more because you have to pay for airfare or train, gas, hotel, childcare, and all the other things that go along with it. And people desperately need help with that. So I think her legislation really highlights some of the impact of this terrible Texas law.
Bridget Leahy is with Planned Parenthood Illinois Action. We've also been speaking with Illinois State Representative Anna Moeller. I want to thank you both so much for taking the time to be with us here today on the 21st.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.